Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. I am Gabriel Morenci. And this show is better than the promos are. I know our boy Yang's excited. He thinks the promos are getting better. You know what? We're going to need an intervention. I'm in studio tomorrow. I think yesterday, didn't I like specify like, oh yeah, this is like the exact moment, but I don't think I fired off like the exact time. Because that was a good story, but not a great story. Like something better had to have happened in the show besides me saying that they raised $182. You know, I'm just saying. Cam, what's going on?
What's happening, Morenci? I'm just trying to lick in the wounds. Another day, buddy. It wasn't our best work with the picks last night.
Well, dude, I lost both college football totals by a single point.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I know. You can't make this stuff up. It's absolutely brutal. But, hey, we got lots of games tonight. Hopefully we bounce back. It's just, yeah, no, I had a lot of bad beats and stuff last night. The NBA was good. Got smoked on the ice. And, yeah, all the hard work. It's amazing, the sports capping business. You just build it, and then you have a night like that, and it just kind of the tower crumbles.
Yep. And then it it just all comes crumbling down.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But
I don't even need to tell you to or ask you to check and see what the account says.
No, I know. It's the thing. Let's stay positive. We need more positive vibes. I don't want to even look. I know. But anyway, you know, let's hit some winners tonight. There's a lot of things going on here. A big football game. We got your boy Whale Capper. Maybe 10 cent. Ask him to send some money. That'd be a good start. You know, say. Hey, can I get 250 of the five? I just want to play around. Hey, you know, it's in one of those things. Yeah, no, I'm waiting on money too. I was going to send you a text today. I go, you know what? I'm going to wait till the end of the show to check the mailbox, because if I check it before the show, it's just going to put me in a worse mood than I already am. So let's just see how things go.
Isn't there a postal strike? Is everything
all
right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's all right, Gabe. There's a postal strike. I know my boy Vince, Vince Von Vizine. Vince is a postal worker. He's telling me he's getting a job at Lids, the place where they sell hats and stuff on the side, because it's imminent. Yeah, it's basically rotating right now. There's people that are off, there are people that are on, but they have to obviously have the mail go through. It's just not happening at a quick pace, more like a snail-like pace with the mail right now.
Yeah, I get it. Especially coming into the weekend, you need some funds.
Yeah,
especially after a couple of rough nights.
You said it.
A couple of rough nights, and yeah, I don't even want to get into it. As we talked about getting plays in. I got yesterday. There was a little bit of a mix up. Corey and Riggs went to the sports book. Wanted to get three plays in. It was put in on a parlay. Instead of three separate plays. So, of course, the parlay ended up losing. We would have went 1-2, you know, so we only hit one leg of the parlay last night. And then there was a misunderstanding, evidently, of the Minnesota Timberwolves wager that I wanted to get in. So, long story short, Cam, either I've got to get somebody that permanently is stationed at the window, or I've got to suck it up and start going back to the book. And I got to go back to the book like immediately following this radio program today.
Yeah, kind of like your driver. You have somebody that's reliable, will pick you up basically 20 minutes from where you are. You need some. Maybe you get to have a friend there at the book who plays a lot of ponies, and maybe that's their job, right? So you can. You know, figure out what his situation is, and maybe try to get in some plays that way. You know,
yeah,
hopefully for a cheaper price.
Seems like there's like 82 runners in the building as it is anyways. I got to see, all right, how much would it cost me to get on the list here? we're going to go to the book here tonight. We got a big football game. It's weird because I do think there's going to be points, and I think it's going to be an entertaining game tonight. The props really are pretty sharp, actually. So I'm looking. It's not like a million props are jumping off the page at me this evening. I'm going to look at the quarterback props. We'll find some props as the game approaches. But as the year goes on, guys, the props get tighter and tighter, man. Like they, if you look at the Daily Roto prop projections and you look at the real props, there's not a lot of difference between, there'll be a surprise. Somebody's going to have a big game, but it's all already cooked into the number, so to speak. The numbers are very, very sharp for the props tonight. That's all I can say about that.
Yeah, I expect a lot of scoring in this game tonight, too. I think Carolina will be able to score on Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh the same on them. It's one of those games, though. It's very, very difficult. I want to make a case for Carolina, but, the way the Steelers are playing right now, you don't want to get in front of them. They've been really, really solid, and they are the home team, and, the home team has tended to do some damage on these Thursday night games.
Yeah, short week. Thursday night games can be tricky. Yet they've sort of changed in dynamic. They used to be automatic unders. They're not automatic unders anymore. They used to always be divisional tilts. They're not divisional games anymore. They wanted to shake it up. The networks are paying bigger money for the Thursday night games, so they're getting better teams right now. And we see that with Fox. And specifically last week the game sucked, but tonight should be real good. Yet we don't know. I mean, might not be a great game. It's just that we have good teams playing against each other. Two teams that have actually been on covering roles right now. Carolina are 3-0 against the spread in their last three games. Pittsburgh are actually on a 4-0 ATS and straight up run. Of course, Pittsburgh struggled out of the gate, but they're starting to get into a groove right now. You know, the NFL, everything sort of evens itself out as the season goes on, as we hit the halfway part. But Carolina been in a bad spot on a weekly basis almost. Their schedule sucks, Carolina. I don't know, man. It's like the league hates them. So, 2 weeks ago they're in Philadelphia. Now, they're in Pittsburgh. They have to play both Pennsylvania teams. It seems just like whatever difficult road situation the league can give Carolina, they do. And Carolina is, taking care of business at times, but Cam Newton's not a great road quarterback. And as good as he is, he's hit or miss. I mean, you need to hope that you're getting he's in a good mood and, Carolina shows up, because Carolina can come out kind of sloppy and dig a hole for themselves. But if that happens, then the over's really in play, which I think is the safest bet. Point spread's down to 3 points right now. It's pretty crazy that it's down to three. It's amazing to me that Carolina a couple of weeks ago were getting points at home against Baltimore. And everybody was telling me how bad Carolina are and explaining to me why Baltimore would be road favorites. Yet the point spread's pretty much the same at Pittsburgh right now, which makes absolutely zero sense. But it just goes to show that people bet on what they saw, not what they think is going to happen. And that's what concerns me with this game tonight, that it's down to 3 points right now. And there's no value with the Carolina Panthers at all. If you like the Panthers right now, Cam, taking them at three, there just isn't.
No, there is no value, Gabe, but I still think, Carolina, you're right. It's with Cam Newton, it's a mood thing. A lot of the time, if he's jacked up and ready to go, I think they're going to be dangerous tonight. I also like Greg Olsen's been in the lineup now the last couple weeks after being hurt, and he's getting acclimated with Cam again. Things are going good. McCaffrey, he's firing on all cylinders, and that defense, I think, is a little bit underrated. They've been good. You said it. They've been in tough spots against good teams, and they've showed up week after week after week. I think people maybe are blindly saying, hey, the Steelers are hot. Let's take them. And now it's only -3. Got to load up. Yeah, not a lot of value with Carolina, Gabe, but I'm telling you one thing. I'm looking at the dog a hell of a lot more than the favorite in this game.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers are on a roll right now, and I think they're going to be able to throw the football. I think the game, like I said, I think the total is the
the way to
the
go.
Total is, yeah, I think yeah, the 51? Total is the way to go.
Yeah, 51 with those offenses, I think we can easily get there. 27-24 is a push. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think both teams could put up, you know, I could see a 31-28 type of game, you know, 35-28, 35-31. I think we should be able to get there definitely. I think the offenses will roll.
All right, I'm saying we're getting tweets right now saying that the app is choppy or our sound is a little choppy. I don't know.
I just asked Yang. He says everything's great. So that's got to be somewhere else. You sound good to me, Gabe. It's got to be the app.
Yeah, I don't know. I find it amazing though that for some reason things always happen. Like I'm there during the day and things don't happen like this all the time. It seems to just happen like when we're on.
Really?
And yeah. I'm not blaming our boy Yang. I'm blaming, I don't know, like there's like some voodoo internet, you know, cyber demon or something that strikes. You know what I mean? It's like he does his rounds around the city or something like that.
Yeah.
And
4 o'clock?
Basically, yeah, in between like 4 and 6, he's like, well, I better make it over to 34th Street. Like that's, you know, that's basically the deal. It's amazing. I wonder, like, man, like, why does stuff always happen when I'm on? But when you're on all the time, stuff will happen as well. So, don't know. It seems it could be the app. So check that out. We'll monitor this. Whale Capper's going to join us. I thought it was going to be Ricky Sanders, but it's Drew Dinkmeyer once again here this evening, which is it's always cool. Breaking it down with Drew Dinkmeyer. We'll talk DFS with Drew Dinkmeyer. We'll take a look at all the NFL games with Whale Capper, or at least most of the interesting NFL games with Whale Capper. NBA card tonight, NHL hockey, college basketball, although really the game is about, tonight's game is all about the football game with Carolina and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, taking a look at the college board, these games suck. Like, it's not, other than opening night when they really gave us the best of the best, things have been crap. Like, you look at the game, 26-point spreads, 20-plus point spreads, 22. You know what I mean? A lot of games, like, good teams versus teams that we talk about, people don't even know about. So, yeah, the bulk of the matter, Carolina-Pittsburgh's obviously the best game of the night. Even the college football game, wow, Wake Forest and NC State. NC State's a 19-point favorite in that game, too. So, I don't expect that game to be very close. And hockey, meh, it's all right. In the NBA, there's only 4 on the board. You said it. The best is the NFL game tonight, hands down.
Well, there's a full slate of NHL games, at least.
Yeah.
If you like to bet on the ice, you got a couple NBA games. You've got biggest one of the night tonight, Milwaukee Bucks and Golden State Warriors, some late night basketball right there. And I'm looking at the number here right now, and I almost like don't believe it. To be honest, like I looked, I'm like, really? I got to do a double take, actually, of the Milwaukee Bucks and the Golden State Warriors point spread. Yet,
6. You know,
in the NBA, yeah, I see 5.5. In the NBA, you always got to double check, triple check the lineups and the injury situation. But I get it. The Milwaukee Bucks are playing well, but I don't recall the Golden State Warriors being this light of a favorite in a hell of a long time. Like, who the hell are they only 5.5-point home favorites against?
It's a great point. Yeah, it's even gone down. Yeah, 5.5 I'm seeing on all the sites now. A total of 240. Bam, that's a big one. Minus 240 on the money line. You're right, Morency. Like, I would have made this line probably even despite Milwaukee being very solid. 7.5, 8. Not 5.5.
Draymond Green is out. So, Draymond Green is out. Everybody else is in for the Golden State Warriors. Which Draymond actually is pretty much their most valuable player. At least he was in past years. He's still very critical, but Durant is just so good now. Durant's just like, you know, Durant's like the best player in the NBA. He's on another level. But Draymond Green is a key guy to be out for that team.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Draymond Green does all the little things, buddy, and that's the thing.
He's like
the straw that stirs the drink. Exactly. That's the thing. Everyone talks about the names on the team. You get Curry and Thompson, all the other guys. Yeah, but Draymond Green's the guy. He's the backbone of the team. He's the guy that gives them a little bit of toughness, too. He does all the little things. Yeah, that's key. That's going to be a key loss there, but still 5.5 seems very, very low for a team like the Warriors. They have so many weapons.
Well, it's just Milwaukee. Maybe the Bucks are being a little overvalued here right now. I mean, the Bucks were actually 1-point favorites at Portland, and
lost pretty convincingly.
Correct.
And now a couple of nights later, they're getting 5.5 only in Golden State. I get it. Draymond Green's out. But even with Draymond out, I still think 5.5 is a little short. It's sort of like football where you add 3 points for home field advantage, which is we got a strange number tonight in the NFL game. In the NBA, 5 points is really three, Cam. Like, they're basically telling us that on a neutral court, these guys are evenly matched teams without Draymond Green. That it's a pick 'em without Draymond.
And I disagree with that.
Like, you know, so you're getting a home court and the Golden State Warriors 5.5. What's the odds makers say? Oh, no, it's a pretty evenly matched game. Like, like three in basketball. That's, you know, 4.5, 5 points is like a field goal in football.
I would like Golden State a hell of a lot more if, you know, you talked about it. Portland actually beat Milwaukee pretty convincingly. So on those trips, usually on the back-to-back game, the other team, if they're a solid team and of quality, they'll come back and fight back. But I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't be betting the Bucks at +5.5. No thanks.
You know, in hindsight, there's always these numbers, man. There's the odds makers. I respect hell out of them.
Yeah, So do I.
But they make mistakes.
They do.
They make mistakes.
They're not perfect.
The key is to try to capitalize on those mistakes and not, you know, bet on too many of the ones that they're not making mistakes on. Because, you know, you just look back, you know, there's just some of these numbers sometimes, man, that it's like, man, like I said, that Baltimore Raven, Carolina Panther number. Toronto Raptors were getting points the other night in Utah. You know, you get some, you know, Portland Trailblazers were underdogs on their home court against Milwaukee the other night. I get it. Milwaukee had only lost one game, but you're talking about an Eastern Conference team that's still a young team, that's an upstart team, going on the road into the Western Conference at that and laying points on the road against the Portland Trailblazer team that was 7-3 just didn't make sense. And, you know, the game wasn't really ever too much in doubt. Portland convincingly won. We'll see tonight if tonight is the trap. Because I tell you, there's been a few traps in the NBA along the way this season. But you know, there's been a couple of real soft lines in the NBA so far this year as well. A lot of soft lines.
It. Yeah, I'm checking out the site, Gabe. Everyone's saying it's the network and the app, everything. So maybe I'll give it a reboot. You give it a reboot. We'll see what we can do. Yang says it sounds good. So I don't know what to say.
Game time decisions. Continues.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Yang says we're back to live action, yet I don't think anyone seems to understand. We're not actually live right now, guys. Like, we could be talking to each other all we want, yet that's not what live action actually is called. I don't know. We apologize. As I stated, there always seems to be freaking something. Whenever we do this show at 4 o'clock on a daily basis, there's always some adventure. They always try to fix things while we're on the air. So right now we've got some technical issues going on. It has nothing to do actually with us. Evidently it's the Verizon issue once again with some server or some feed, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
I think maybe, you know, there'll be a podcast up after. I guess our feed within the studio is clear, which I'm aware of. But, you know, as I stated, you know, we could be being heard. We might not be heard, like down the road. I guess we'll find out.
Okay.
I keep we're going back live now. It's like, well, we're not actually live. You know, maybe we are. I don't know. Listen, we're on like 18 different platforms. And I remember I was on terrestrial radio once, and we got knocked off the air, and somebody started saying crazy stuff in the studio, and it turned out it was actually being picked up on the air, like you know, in another city type thing. Like, signals can act weird. We don't really know. So what we do know is, listen, we'll bring Whale Capper in right now. We'll have a good conversation with Whale Capper, and that'll be up on the website after if people can't hear this live. Whale Capper, it's always a pleasure. What's going on?
What is happening? The beauties of live broadcasting for you guys today, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't say beauties, Whale Capper. It's not really beauty anymore. It's just, anyway.
The trials and tribulations of trying to produce a live broadcast must be very, very challenging.
That's it, brother. Trials and tribulations. You got it. But, hey, anyway, at least you guys, it's nice that it's fitting that Carolina's playing Pittsburgh tonight. I know Gabe's excited about this one, too. The old bet at the start when you guys were on stage in Vegas there, it was a lot of fun to watch you guys. And now if Carolina can find a whale capper, I'd say you can start sending Marenza money pretty soon, maybe in installments.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's a whole heck of a lot of hope for my Carolina under at this point in time. They have a bunch of winnable games down the stretch here. And if they win tonight, that's like a cherry. I mean, they're getting to double-digit wins, and they're probably – you know, this is a really important game for them in the hunt for the NFC South. People probably look at the Saints and they figure, like, oh, it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to get the one seed in the NFC. But the Saints have a very difficult schedule, including two more games to play against the Panthers. So, I mean, really and truly, even a loss here tonight and the Panthers' destiny is still kind of in their own hands. They play the Saints week 15. They have a really nice situational spot there. It's in Carolina. Saints are going to be coming into Carolina on their third straight road game. And then they get week 17, they got to go down to New Orleans. So they're going to have some shots here to capture the NFC South and potentially get a bye. So all credit to the Panthers and in particular to what they've done on offense with Norv Turner. He really has completely revised his approach from the last time we saw him at the helm when he was in Minnesota. And I've been more wrong about the Panthers than anything else this whole season. And most of it, really, I have to tip my hat to Norv Turner for just absolutely lighting the world on fire in offense in Carolina, which I did not expect given the state of that offensive line and how depleted they were at some of their receiving positions. But here we sit now with should be a really competitive game, really nice matchup against Pittsburgh, and a lot of ways to attack this one. You guys already get into it a little bit?
Yeah, and it's a scary game. I'm concerned about the point spread, and I was just bemused by the marketplace and by the public perception in which a couple of weeks ago, Carolina were home dogs to the Baltimore Ravens. And here they are. So they were getting 2.5 points to the Baltimore Ravens in Carolina, yet now they only get 3 points tonight in Pittsburgh. It goes to show the insanity of the marketplace. And I didn't say the correctness or the wisdom of the marketplace. I'm saying the insanity and the bipolarness of the market, in which it's just really such a reactionary public move all the time. And why is the number only 3, Will Capper? Doesn't this feel low? And obviously, I'm a Carolina backer. I like the over tonight. I think it's a tricky game for Carolina. And Carolina, you know, keep on achieving, even though they're in tough spots. They've dealt with injuries on their O-line. We can go down the stretch. Carolina have really just been so impressive. I think it's a tough spot for them, but why is it only 3 points tonight? Like, is it a lack of respect for Pittsburgh? Like, I don't understand the number.
The world wonders, man. I've been asking all my sharp friends about exactly this question all week. Why is this getting bet down so much? The look ahead at the Superbook in Vegas, they hang a look ahead line a week ahead of time every week. It's really useful to kind of know what that number is, so that you can then see the opener and see how they've made adjustments for certain teams. We were expecting to see Pittsburgh as 6-point favorites here. They actually opened at Pittsburgh -5. It's been bet down to Pittsburgh -3. That is, and so now you're basically saying you know, Pittsburgh, if they only have a 3-point field, home field advantage, which is a little bit of a stretch, it might be closer to 3.5 or 4. Now you're basically saying these two teams are even. That's quite a statement about the strength of Carolina overall, and it does feel too short to me. I ended up backing Pittsburgh minus 3.5 here at even money. Being the home team on a short week, being that this is an out-of-conference game and that these teams aren't particularly familiar with each other, I think that, you know, tilts a little bit in, you know, an advantage of the home team in this spot. And if you break down some of the very kind of key matchups here, Pittsburgh has a, you know, their defense is emerging as a physical unit. They should be able to get after Cam and kind of put a little bit of pressure on him. Maybe even take a couple shots. And then on the other side of things, the Panthers defense has holes. They have been giving up gobs of yards and touchdowns to the tight end position. I would expect Vance McDonald tonight to have a pretty nice game for the Steelers. And then weirdness going on with Antonio Brown getting popped for going 100 miles an hour or whatever this morning in some neighborhood. Don't like to see that already holding a Pittsburgh Steelers ticket.
He's like morphing into like Marvin Harrison, but like retired Marvin Harrison, which yeah. AB just had the reputation of this overachiever, great story, makes it to the NFL. And basically it's like every week, like when you hear Antonio Brown, you don't think, oh yeah, player of the week. You think, oh boy, what did he do? You know, and, you know, he threw a couch off a balcony, nearly hit a baby with a couch, freaked out because someone stole his gun. You know, like, oh, yeah, he threatened to break the jaw of a Pittsburgh beat writer earlier in the year. Now he gets pulled over. Yeah, basically it just doesn't end with this guy right now.
Yeah, man, something about top-tier wide receivers. It messes with your brain. I guess you could put Jerry Rice in a category by himself, but all the rest of these guys get to a certain level of fame as a receiver, and you just kind of lose it, I guess. I can't explain it. There's one other thing that I'm kind of woke on that I'm a little concerned about from the standpoint of the Steelers line being so low. Do you think that someone out there knows or has a little bit of inside information on Ben Roethlisberger's not 100%? He took a pretty solid hit against that Ravens game.
He sure did, and that's the thing, Whale Capper and Gaby. He took that hit 280 pounds like flat on him, and then he looked he was hurt. And then he shook it off. But some of those things can linger with a big body. I mean, you know what I mean? Like over time, he carries a lot of weight around. He's not a small guy, so. Who knows? I think that's a good observation, and you bring up a good point. You got the line at 3.5 even, and now I'm seeing minus 3 either to minus 125 and 30. So think about the gamblers not playing $20, $50 bets, like guys who smash games. That's a big difference in juice, 25, 30 cents to plus 100, meaning nothing. So you know what I'm saying, Whale Capper? That's a huge half point in this game when you're looking at it from a gambling perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, I make this like a 4 to 6 point game, so I'm happy having 3.5 at even juice. And over the course of the season, you make over 100 bets in the NFL easily if you're betting a bunch of these games. And the 30 cents adds up big time. I mean, you're talking about the difference of, you know, going 50-50 on the year and breaking even versus having to go like 60-40 on the year to break even. So it's kind of something that I try to practice getting the best of the number as often as possible.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions for Heat Rage Radio. Normally, Yang gives us a back to live action, fellas. He was like, no, I'm not going down that road. He said, all right, we're back.
back, fellas. We're back.
All right, you know what, though? This is a good time for us to say hello to everyone on iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
It's a good time, I feel like Ariana Grande. I love you, iHeartRadio. It's always like Taylor Swift and Ariana. They always have like the pop singers. Love you, iHeartRadio. So we are on iHeartRadio right now, which is a pretty good platform to be on. So we'll take it. That's the good thing, Whale Capper. We're literally on like 18 different platforms. So when you're on 18 different platforms, it's like, you know, 13 of them might work, 15 of them might not work, but by God, we'll find one of them that works. And, you know, I guess the iHeart app is invincible because there's no problems. Yeah, if you got to tune into the iHeart app right now to get this show, you know, crystal clear, because there's some technical difficulties on some of the other apps and some of the other formats right now. So at least we know.
Love iHeartRadio.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
I'm just heavy hitters on iHeartRadio, Gabe. It's nice to be on that platform. You said it with the rich people. Exactly.
Yeah, they got to get you in a commercial saying, I love you, iHeartRadio. I'm Cam Stewart.
I do love it.
Okay, so let's wrap this game up. And our apologies. Okay. It's just been one of these crazy days, crazy weeks. Ton of stuff going on. Right now, the bullets are flying around here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, I don't know what it is, man. It's like a couple of times a week that something, like, catastrophic electronically seems to happen when we're on. You know, like, I don't know. Like, there's, like, internet shortages in New York City as soon as we start the show. It's like we're that electric that we suck that much juice from the grid or something. Like,
I wish it was that, Moretzi.
Like, eventually, like, you just snap. Like, eventually, yeah. It's just like, all right, like, and even Cam Whale Cappers, he's very, very laid-back guy. Like, I'm the rage guy in this show. And even Cam, like, during the breaks, he's like, this is just getting to be too much. Like, you know, it gets to you. But so tonight's football game, horrible spot for Carolina, yet it's only 3. And I don't like betting something because what the odds maker is trying to trick you into doing, but it seems to me like they're trying to ask people, hey, they're saying, hey, why don't you bet on Pittsburgh? You only got to lay 3 points.
It's true. And as far as the technical difficulties, are we sure this isn't bookmaker sabotage? They're trying to keep it. You know, you're not far from some organized crime, man. They may be taking it in the shorts with all these winners we've been talking about. And they're figuring out a way to keep you off the air, man.
there's the either that, or I see there's a police helicopter hovering outside my window.
Oh.
Either that, or they've shut our communications. They're shutting our communications one by one.
This conspiracy goes all the way to the top, man. We got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw, it's funny, on Twitter the other day, I saw someone was getting into it with RJ Bell from pregame. Oh, yeah. And basically you saw that, and basically it was like, people are convinced that RJ Bell gives losing picks. And I'm not saying this to start a freaking feud with RJ or anything like that. I'm just sort of stating, I've been accused of that before as well. Someone's like, Morency, are you giving bad picks on purpose and then making money from them on the sports book? And I don't think we'll flatter ourselves that our picks are that great, but yeah, it's just the odds makers are really trying to bait you into taking the 3 points tonight. It's to lay three.
They got me. I did it. I laid 3.5 here. They even baited me into the 3.5 even money here. I guess I wouldn't necessarily advocate for laying the hook here. I think there are more outcomes where the Steelers just run away with this thing. We've seen them play exceptionally well in primetime spots and big game spots over the course of the year. And either Ben Roethlisberger is right and they take care of business today and they put the Panthers away, because, like, as you mentioned, the Panthers are in a terrible spot, or Ben Roethlisberger is not right and the Panthers went outright. Like, I'm not really worried about the numbers so much. I think that either Pittsburgh covers in style or the Panthers come up with an upset here. So I'm laying 3.5 for even money here, and I like your look on the over. I think this should be a pretty competitive, high scoring game. You don't have particularly stout defenses out there. There's no weather to be worried about. You got a lot of offensive weapons out there, especially on the Pittsburgh side of the football, and the offense rules right now. This should be a fun game to watch.
Whale Capper, let's talk about some other games there. We were going through some of the games with our boy Gamblu yesterday, too, and a very intriguing game. Buffalo and the Jets, we talked about. I know Morenci told me, I'm not going to this Bills game. I give them not exactly. I don't blame them either. But it's interesting with the quarterback situation. Maybe Allen, McCown for the Jets, and now the line creeping up, 6.5 up to 7. What do you think about this game? It seems like a lot of points to lay with the Jets, but it's hard to take the Bills with how many mistakes these guys make.
It's true. And, I mean, outside of the quarterback, Sam Darnold, the Jets are getting healthier. They're getting some of their pieces back slowly but surely. Their defense was pretty impressive last week against the Dolphins. The Jets probably should have won that game. If they get any kind of competent performance out of Darnold, I think the Jets win last week. And I get why you hear news like Darnold's injured. He's injured. Oh, my God, the market reacts and it drops to 6.5. That was the right time to get involved with the Jets if you liked him, because now it's going to, you know, it's creeping back up to 7. We could see Derek Anderson. We could see Nathan Peterman. It's still a huge question mark. Really, that kind of kept me away from this game. That total is really something. What is it, like 36.5? I could see that. Still going under, given the way that the Bills' defense looks absolutely legit. So it's this one was a stay away for me, but I can understand why people out there snapped up Jets -6.5, because McCown might be better than Darnold. Backup Josh McCown.
He is better. He was great last year, and he fell under the radar. He's just not a flashy guy.
He knows the system. Go ahead.
I sort of think that this is one of the it's one of those injuries, sort of like a pitcher that's like, you know, starts the game and no one's ever talking about any injury. And then he gives up like 4 home runs, and then they're after. Yeah, we think something's wrong with his arm. Let's just take a look. I don't know. It's like Darnold's been regressing. There's been, like, suddenly, you know, from him being the next Joe Namath at the start of the year, there's been a lot of negativity around him suddenly. And, you know, there's some people who think that he's not as hurt as it's more precautionary more than anything else.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that nothing more positive is really going to come out of this at this point in time. So let's just chill out for a couple of weeks. You know, I'm not saying he's not injured. I'm not saying they're faking it, but, you know, I think if the Jets were good and Darnold was playing better, he'd be playing. He'd be able to play. I don't think it's like, oh, I can't play guys at all. I think it's more precautionary than anything. As far as the Bills, who the hell knows, like you said. And I've been that stupid person that have said, listen, I'll take the Bills with Nate Peterman. He's not that bad. I've done it like 4 times now, bro. I can't do it anymore. And I know, Cam, you've been there with me where we've defended him, and he beat Pitt. Yeah. He beat Deshaun Watson when he was at Pitt. He beat Clemson.
Yeah, I know.
He's good.
That's a long time ago now, Gabe.
Yeah, it doesn't
it's a different
work.
Story now. No, it doesn't.
Like, you can't, like, you just can't. No. I can't.
I'm not giving any more money away on Bills games.
I want to even with Derek Anderson, but I can't trust Derek Anderson. I'm a Bills fan. Derek Anderson hasn't practiced. He's in concussion protocol. And then we don't know the situation with Josh Allen. And Josh Allen's not healthy enough to practice, but he might play the game this week. So we're going to take our first-round draft pick when we're 2-7 football team and throw him out there against the Jets because we don't have anybody else. Like, they're useless, Whale Capper. Like, you know, like, I'd rather you're the general manager of this team.
Yeah, well, what if you were the general manager of the Bills, what do you do in the draft? You got to get that offensive line is your key concern, or do you need to get some weapons for Josh Allen? What do you do this offseason?
Offense, and more offense on the line. That's the thing. You're basically Zay Jones. That experiment. That's in the toilet. Like, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Forget
in
that.
In East Carolina, we thought he was good. Well, that's not true. They don't draft wide receivers.
They refuse to for some reason.
They got to get help on the line, and they need a receiver too, because Kelvin Benjamin, Zay Jones, no thanks.
Draft some top tier offensive line talent. Go to the free agency market. Pick up a nice wide receiver piece or two.
Sure.
I dig that. I mean, the Bills have such a good defense. They should be competing, and you know, I think a couple of nice moves gets them back on track. But I would like to have seen them get Josh Allen some more reps this year. And as you look down their schedule, they have some pretty winnable games in December. Maybe if they give Allen enough time to come back to 100%, he comes back, he gets a couple wins in December, and he comes into 2019 with a little confidence. That's about as rosy a picture as I can paint for the Bills. Otherwise, things are pretty bleak.
Let's not waste any more time on them. There's nothing.
other games.
Yeah, there's just nothing, nothing positive to say about them. You know, there are some interesting games. The Saints and the Bengals seem, you know, the Saints are the it team right now. They're up to 6 points against Cincinnati. Might be a little bit too high here, Whale Capper. New Orleans are good.
Yeah.
I think they're Super Bowl worthy good, and I think they can win this football game. But you know, to win your bet, you got to win by 7 points right now, and that's pretty ambitious to be laying this type of point to John the Road.
It sure is. This plays out in my mind a lot in a lot of the similar ways that Saints Ravens played out. Should be a very competitive matchup. Bengals coming off the bye should be pretty fresh and should be ready to attack the Saints defense, which I don't think is that great. They're getting some nice pieces back on their offensive line for the Bengals. Doesn't look like we'll see A.J. Green, but they have enough other weapons that I'm not exactly expecting that to completely, you know, forestall their offense. I think the Bengals are a live dog here. If there's ever going to be a letdown spot for the Saints, this is the week. They got the Eagles on deck. You know, they're coming up on, they're playing on Thanksgiving in 2 weeks against the Falcons. They're playing the Cowboys after that in a primetime spot. They got three really enormous important games coming up. If there's any, you know, if a letdown is an angle at all for the Saints, this is the week to see it. So I grabbed the points here with the Bengals this week and hoping to see a competitive game from the Red Rocket.
Let's talk Detroit and Chicago. This is one I think we're going to be looking at the dog as well. Seems like a lot of points, -7 for Chicago. I know Detroit's been horrible the last couple weeks. The beatdown at home against Seattle, they've looked brutal. Like, this is not the Detroit. And Minnesota really shut them down, too, with 10 sacks in that game. But laying 7 with the Bears, that win against Buffalo, not as impressive when we see the pick sixes with Buffalo. You want to talk ambitions, Chicago -7 seems a little bit ambitious, Whale Capper.
It surely does. I looked long and hard at that number before deciding to pass. I completely see the angle. I wouldn't stop anyone from grabbing the points with Detroit. I think it's crazy that last week Detroit was in Minnesota. I think Minnesota is a better team than Chicago, and you could get Minnesota last week for 4.5 or 5, and this week they're expecting you to lay 7 with the Bears. Mitch Trubisky, I don't think is the next coming of outstanding quarterbacks in this league. I think he's got a bunch of limitations. Granted, the Detroit Lions defense has almost no one that can take advantage of his limitations. But all that said, it should be a pretty competitive game. Detroit was in a letdown spot last week after trading Golden Tate away. He was a leader in their locker room. With a week removed from that now and a little bit of focus, I could see Detroit pull off an upset here. I'm kind of waiting for the right time to just start selling hard on the Bears, because they're about to go to schedule hell here down the stretch, and they're gonna have some tough games. And I guess in the back of my head, I didn't take Detroit this week, hoping that the Bears somehow find a way to win against the pretty poor defense for Detroit, and then start really unloading against the Bears next week when they go to Minnesota.
You know, Matt Stafford is 9-1 straight up, actually, his last 10 games against the Chicago Bears. And the Bears are an interesting case study as well, actually, if you look at the point spreads. I thought, you know, they've been overvalued. They're a public team. You know, like we forgot they were a public team because they were sort of out of the limelight for a couple of years. But you saw the power of Khalil Mack coming back immediately, skyrocketing and selling the most jerseys. And suddenly, you know, the Bears fans came out of hibernation, pardon the pun, although I did do that deliberately.
You did.
Yeah, so the Bears, point spreads have been a little bit little bit high as well, although
inflated.
I thought the same thing last week. Yeah, inflated is the right word. Yeah, I thought the same thing last week when they played the Bills, actually. But, I mean, come on, man. Laying 6.5, 7 points now, up to 7
a lot.
Against Detroit.
A lot.
It's just, you know, Mitch Trubisky, guy averages like, what, 4.2 yards per attempt or something like that? I mean, it's, Dave, and you know this. You're an analytic guy, Will Capper. The Bears, and I'm not one of these people, they didn't beat anybody. You beat the teams that you play on your schedule. Everyone's in the NFL, it is what it is, but they have taken advantage of a weaker and softer schedule. You know, if you look at their wins, they've capitalized on playing some pretty bad teams.
They have had one of the easiest schedules, if not the easiest, to this point in the season, period.
Yeah.
Maybe the Patriots has been easier, but not by much. It's been a lot of easy going so far for the Bears. It's about to get tough. I guess the more I think about it, the Lions is the right side here. They have the weapons that can attack the Bears where they are vulnerable on defense. The Bears can be picked apart down the field, down the sidelines especially. Their cover corners are not great. You saw it week one. Aaron Rodgers comes out of the locker room high as hell on Toradol and just absolutely bombs down, you know, throwing 50-yard bombs, and the defense was nowhere to be seen in terms of coverage. Matt Stafford can do that exactly. You know, he can play the Aaron Rodgers role in this scenario and do the same, you know, pick apart that defense the same way. And then you flip the script, and you're exactly right. Mitch Trubisky is... he's winning games in weird ways that doesn't seem sustainable. A ton of his conversions have been scrambling when pocket's breaking down because he's not reading defense as well. Where you can attack the Lions is in the kind of the intermediate to deep passing range. He's not throwing those balls accurately. This is actually set up pretty well for a Detroit upset.
Whale Capper. All right, we got about a minute left here with your Whale Cap before we get you out of here. What about that Sunday nighter? Is this a trap with the Cowboys? You know, everyone sees the Cowboys and all. Cowboys are terrible. I just saw them on Sunday night. Like, everyone's so anti. Oh, Philadelphia's going to kill them. Yeah, we all know Dallas are bad home favorites and they're good road dogs. Yet, sort of leap of faith to take Dallas in this spot right now. But the rivalry is so thick and intense. This is their season for real. Like, this is it. They haven't quit yet. They're coming in here. Is it a trap this that everyone's jumping on the Eagles, Will Capper?
It certainly feels that way. In all of my years watching the NFL and kind of knowing about bet percentages and knowing about contrarian angles, this is like at the top of the list of, or this is like example one of a contrarian spot to back the Cowboys. They are never, never this poorly supported in terms of public support. No one wants to back the Cowboys. They're getting like less than 20% of the bets out there. The line has been inflated out to like 7.5 at this point. It's
unbelievable.
Like a nice spot to grab the Cowboys.
The other one.
I'm going to take the over though.
All right, we got to get out. Check out Whale Capper on Twitter. Whale Capper.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
All right, good job, Yank. Man, I can just imagine what it's like in the pit today.
Sweaty.
Sweaty. I'm gonna tell you too. Yeah, you've never met Yang in person, Cam. Yang is he gets animated. He gets like
fired, you know, fired up.
Yeah, like we're sitting here, like, you know, honestly, I just sort of sit here and shake my head and like get in, like, internally enraged.
Yeah,
like Yang's like walking back and forth. His hands are moving around. Like, I saw him, yeah. I see his struggles on a daily basis in which, like, systems, people take control of the system when he's gone. Like, there's always something going on in there. It's like air traffic control in that room. Like, it really is. There. He's in a tough spot. Like, I don't envy him. I'll put it that way. But you shouldn't envy us either, Yang. I'll put it that way, too.
Yeah. It's a team.
Like, I'm being honest. Like, I don't envy you, but trust me. Like, I'm sure, like, a lot of times people think, oh, man, hosts are the worst, and they're yelling, and they're freaking out. You know, like, it's a stressful situation to find yourself in, Cam, as you know.
Yeah, well, sometimes because you don't really know what's going on. We don't know, you know what I mean? There's only so many things we can do. You look at the computer, the board, things, you know. We don't know whose end it's on. We don't know what's happening with Verizon, Gabe. I can only do what I could do. You look at the knobs in front of you, and hopefully things work out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's tough.
Exactly.
I'm not a rocket. Hey, we didn't go to Duke like Whale Capper. We do the best we can. Hey, man, I'm just...
Yeah, you know
just,
what? I'm trying
I'm
to ease up.
I'm just a guy
up.
With
we'll
a computer
up,
and a soundboard. Yeah, have fun,
we'll just,
buddy.
We'll just ease up and have fun here.
Back to live action, fellas. Come on. Yeah, I actually took a page out of your book. Grilled cheese, baby. Grilled cheese. Yeah. Delicious.
Gotta
have the Texas toast.
I got to get out to the sportsbook, actually.
Oh.
No, you know what? I haven't... You know what? I ate at Jack Doyle's the other day. You know, no offense, Jack, but I'm going to hang out with my boy Al.
you're disappointed with Jack Doyle's. The only bar you like, Houlihan's is your bar, right? More than Jack
Doyle's. Yeah, Houlihan's a good spot. But, Al's has the best grilled cheese. That Texas toast, real thick Texas toast. They slap a lot of cheese in there, but not too much cheese. Just the perfect amount. Good French fries. It's a nice combo, $5.99.
Great price over at the
Meadowlands Sportsbook. I get the grilled cheese special. It's not Texas toast. It's Meadowlands toast, and it's
thin and limpy.
Yeah, it's New York Jet toast.
Sam Darnold spread.
Yeah,
it's not even butter. It's some kind of margarine product.
It's still
hydrogenated.
Good.
It's okay.
I want the butter.
Butter.
It's okay. And it's $8.50 though, yet it comes with a drink. It comes so it's a combo. You get the grilled cheese, the fries, and the drink for $8.50.
I'd rather have $5.99 and deal with my own drink personally. But
all right.
that's my goal.
Do we have Jamie Heath?
Is he here?
Yank?
Oh, there he is. Hey, Jamie, what's happening?
Hey, Cam. What's going on, Cam and Gabe? How are you guys?
Good.
What's going on, Jamie? It's one of these days today, Jamie.
Is that toast Elvis Patterson toast? Remember
is
toast
that what?
Toast? Remember Elvis Patterson on the Giants? They used to call him toast. Is that the toast we're talking about?
Yeah, no. You know what? We're having a hard time. Can you reconnect, Yang, with Jamie? We're having a hard time hearing you. I was just going to say, Jamie, we apologize. We're having some technical difficulties today. I can't really understand it.
Yeah.
I'm really good at deciphering through sort of bad audio this. Yeah, hang up and just call back in. Let's reestablish a connection with Jamie. As Cam, the challenges just they continue
sometimes,
serenity now.
Serenity now, Morency. There's nothing we can really do about it. We just the listeners are here. We
I hope the 13 people that are
I hope the 13 people
that are actually getting this show right now realize what we're doing for
you. We love you guys. Yeah, we're there. Yeah. We're there for you.
Like I've been given the option to push the button, the nuclear button, right?
The abort button. Abort.
I was given permission. Like basically, Cardano's a great guy. And he goes, listen, you're the host.
He is.
He goes, if it gets to be too much, just shut it down.
Yep.
But he goes, I can hear you clearly on iHeart in my car. So for all you people in your cars right now,
iHeart,
you know, we're doing it for you. But now I even get a tweet saying, iHeart shaky, Morency.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
We just didn't understand a word Jamie he stated. So let's see if it's any better right now. What's going on, Jamie?
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, that sounds better.
That's way better.
Nice and clear.
All right, nice and clear. Perfect. What you guys were talking about toast at the Meadowlands and at, I don't know where else, but I was thinking when you're talking about toast, what came to mind was Elvis Patterson, the original toast from the New York Giants. Remember him?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Toast.
That's what you said.
there you go.
That's good stuff. And we could say it's fitting because the New York Giants are toast this year already.
Jets, pretty much close to toast,
both teams.
Well, you know what, though? To be honest, though, I think both New York football teams could cover the spread this week. Against the Buffalo Bills.
I think so, too.
Yeah, like Josh McCown's better than Sam Darnold is, so that's an upgrade.
Yep. At this point in career, for sure, I agree with you, because right now Sam Darnold looks like he's throwing it to the other team more than he's throwing it to his own team.
Nick Mullins, exactly. they think he's the second coming of Christ or Joe Montana there. I might take the points with the Giants, too. I'm with you, Morency. Like, San Fran, you play good against Oakland. Oakland blows, too. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, you're right. Both New York teams could be in covering mode this weekend, for sure.
Yeah, Nick Mullins' little Cinderella story comes to an end.
Real quick.
Yeah. Me, Jamie, that's the way me and Cam are. Like, we're not down with these underdog Cinderella stories.
No.
We're really
it could be a one and done for Mr. Mullins.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't even know if he's starting, to be honest. I think Beathard might be back, but it'd be hard to not leave this kid in after he set all those records. You know, listen, the Giants suck. I get it. But Mullins played against the Raiders team to quit. The Giants yes. don't quit. They just don't win. There's a difference. Like, the Giants aren't quitting. Like, people in New York already hate them. Like, they can't. If they don't try, it's just going to be compounded. So they're actually trying. It's just Eli Manning's not very good. Like, the Raiders aren't trying, right? There's, like, there's a difference.
I couldn't agree with you more, Gabe. I agree with you 100% on that. At least the Giants do put out an effort. The Raiders putting out absolutely no effort. And it's actually a real shame to the NFL because it looks like the Raiders, all they're playing for right now is that first pick. And it looks like they're accomplishing it because they pretty much suck right now, and they put absolutely no effort on the field. Their defense quit pretty much after the first quarter in that game. You could tell the Raiders had no desire to be on that field.
I don't think they like the coach. They're not playing for the coach. It's clear. Like they're not going to. You know, they don't like him. He sabotaged them, and it's not just that they're trades and stuff. Like he's actually like not calling plays, like not trying to win. You know, like the other night with Bruce Irvin. They let him go after the game, but they didn't use him. And basically they said, well, you know, I would like to use him, but he's an edge rusher, and we were trailing the game, and we didn't need an edge rusher. Like, he's just, like, saying these stupid, weird things now, Gruden, to justify why he's tanking. Yet he clearly is tanking. Yet I don't understand. I mean, I get it. You know, you can trade players away. You can, want to get a draft pick, but I'm not even sure he'll be there. Like, what are you paying a guy $10 million a year for to lose? I mean, anyone can tank if that's what you want to do. But anyways, I do think the Giants have played better on the road. All their games, their best games have been on the road. But as far as tonight's game, we've had some real duds. It sucks that today we finally have a good game, and then suddenly we've got all this technical stuff. I think it's Verizon's fault, though. Big game tonight, Jamie, Carolina and Pittsburgh.
Looks to be like the best matchup on the board as far as all of the NFL this week, and we happen to have it. It falls on a Thursday, and it's a far cry from last week's game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Oakland Raiders, which we were just talking about. This looks like a marquee matchup. Two teams that are absolutely going in the right direction. Pittsburgh started out the season 1-2-1. I believe they've won four straight, and the Carolina Panthers are also 6-2, and they're on a nice little winning streak themselves. Both teams are hot at the right time. You couldn't ask for a better matchup. I think it's going to be a very entertaining game. I think there should be a lot of points scored in the game. If you guys like to play the over-unders, I'm looking towards the over as a play in this game. And as far as the side tonight, we have a very, very strong opinion on the side tonight. We want you to call that number, 1-800-220-6262. Visit our website, join our website, thesportsbrokers.com. And one of our brokers would be happy to give you a call. So definitely, this is a great spot, great time to get involved with us because we got college basketball. No one's better at college basketball than us. And this is a perfect season, right? Perfect time of the season.
It's interesting, Jamie. You talked about the total. It is a great time of the year, Morenci. And Gabe and I were talking about, too, I don't think there's going to be a lot of defense yet. The total has gone down a half, Jamie, for 51 to 50 and a half. And also, very interesting stuff. We had a previous guest on, our buddy Whale Capper, and we talked about the juice between 3 and 3.5. A lot of people who took the Steelers at 3.5 plus 100 or 105, now it's minus 3, minus 125, 130. And you know, Jamie, when you like to throw it down, that juice could add up after a while. 25, 30 cents is a big number for a half point.
Absolutely is, Cam. You got it without a doubt. But you're always, when you're talking about that number, that all important, that number 3, to get it down, obviously you got to pay to get it down. That's just like 7.5 to bring it down to 7, or say 7 to 6.5. You got to spend at least 120, 130, sometimes 135 to do it. So absolutely. But this line actually opened up around 4.5, 5. It's come down. So obviously early money did go on the Carolina Panthers in this game. So, 3.5, 3, depending on where you're getting at. But if you have to lay 3, you're probably going to be laying a nice penny, probably 120, 125, maybe even 130.
Jamie Heath, the sports brokers with us. Carolina Panthers and the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight. Weird line with the number sitting at 3, considering Pittsburgh's at home. Tough spot for Carolina. Total has come down a little bit. It went up earlier in the week. Now it's all the way down to 51. I do believe there's going to be some points a short week. I brought this up earlier, actually, too, and I brought it up a couple of times during the week. Ben Roethlisberger does a weekly radio show. I think I mentioned – no, I didn't mention this on Sports Rage Against the Machine because we didn't talk about this game. Is just Roethlisberger, he got beat up pretty good in that Baltimore game. Like, he got knocked around a lot. And he was saying on his show on Tuesday, Cam, that, you know, he hates Thursday games. He says, I already don't like Thursday games. It's basically for money and – basically players don't like the Thursday night games. And nope. Cam Newton was bitching about the Thursday night on Sunday after the win. He was like, yeah, you know, it sucks that we got to go on the road this Thursday. So, everyone complains about it, but Ben Roethlisberger was pretty open, Jamie, in which he stated, people don't understand how hard it is to play a football game 3 days after you've just played a physical game. And then he said, especially
against the Ravens,
coming off a game that we just played against, like the Ravens. And Ben's basically stating, I'm beat up, right? And, I don't want to overthink this, but I'm looking at this. I just think Cam Newton can handle the short week a little bit better than Ben can. But it's on the road. Now you throw in the fat guys and Antonio Brown gets pulled over this morning again. And, people can get pulled over. It's going to happen. Yet, there's been a lot of, this can happen to any, can it happen to anyone? Did he throw a couch off a balcony and nearly hit a baby? Can it happen to anyone? Did you threaten to break the jaw of a beat writer because you didn't like what he said about you in a story in a paper? Antonio Brown's starting to snap. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh, flips him soon, to be honest, guys, because this guy is basically, he's an incident away from getting arrested. That's the feeling I get all the time, with Brown. He's going to do something soon. Something's going to happen with this guy. It's like he wants to get in trouble. It really is. It's like he's morphing. Most people are, dumber when they're young. He's, going the opposite route. As he gets older.
Yeah, he's Benjamin Button NFL. He's going
it's
reverse.
Like he's a college kid. Yeah, it's like if you're Tomlin, it's like a college kid. Oh, boy, what did my linebacker do? You know what I mean? Well, got in a fight at the campus bar.
Very true. He was calmer at Central Michigan. He got no trouble.
Every time the phone rings, he's probably thinking, oh, God, what did Antonio do today, But the number to call, Jamie.
It's 1-800-220-6262. Again, visit our website, join our website, thesportsbrokers.com. We love tonight's game. Hey, and what's a week in football without something going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Every week there's an incident with the Steelers. You got Le'Veon Bell situation all year, Roethlisberger. If there's not something going on with him, who knows? And now it's Antonio Brown. The Steelers, you got to love the Steelers. There's always controversy with the Steelers, but they do come to play. That's one thing I have to say about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin always has them ready to play.
Very good. It's crazy, Gabe. Take a look at this. The Washington-Tampa Bay game. Tampa Bay is favored by 3, and the money line's 140 or 145. Tonight's game, Pittsburgh's 3. Guess what the money line is? 180. That's a huge money line for a three-point favorite there. That's
very, very, very high. Very
interesting
high
numbers in this game, Jamie. The numbers are all out of whack. Something crazy is going to happen tonight. I got a feeling. Weird numbers.
Well, if the bettors out there want to take the Carolina Panthers instead of taking the 3, like you just said, Cam, if you're going to take a money line, Pittsburgh's minus 180, the comeback's 160, that's really not too bad of a bet, is it?
No. Very good money line.
Plus
Carolina.
It's
going to
be
plus
160.
Well, I mean, you get a push.
You might be onto something.
And when it's all said and done, it's a weird number, weird game. The odds makers, trying to get you to take the Pittsburgh Steelers for one reason or another. I don't know. Especially coming off the weekend in which the books got crushed last week. So they clearly have a game plan. I don't know what their trick is. They're up to something. It feels like they're up to something.
They're trying to rope you in somehow, some way. They're trying to rope you in. There's no doubt about it. Vegas is not stupid. They weren't born on, they didn't make up Vegas, from winners. That's for sure. So.
No, they were born before I was. I know that.
Yeah, and they're gonna be there a long time before we're gone. Well, after we're gone too. So there's no doubt about it.
Good point.
Hey,
true. It's a good point. Jamie Heath, thesportsbrokers.com. We apologize for the technical difficulties, Jamie. Always a pleasure.
All righty, you got it. Good luck to you guys tonight and the week, and we'll talk later on. Take care, Cam. Take care, Gabe.
Sportsbrokers.com.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, Yang's making us laugh. Good stuff, Yang.
I don't know if I want to laugh or want to cry.
Yeah, both. It's okay, buddy. Yeah. We get through this, man. You know Morenci. Just truck on, buddy. Truck on. That's the way it works. Yeah.
No, don't hit it. Don't push.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, that's right. Cardano gave you the nuke button. Don't touch. Don't touchy.
Stay off the nuke button. Stay off the nuke button.
It's like Homer Simpson.
Like Trump
don't
with the
touch.
Nuclear coats. Yeah, that's the best when Ned tells him, when Homer, don't touch the button. Touch and button. All he sees is touch button. He blows the world up. If you remember, a couple of months ago, actually, I think it was last year. I don't know. I lose track of time. But I think it was last summer. It wasn't that long ago. In Hawaii, they actually sounded like the doomsday nuclear attack warning.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was
like
that was the thing.
Yeah, so like people in Hawaii literally were told, "This is not a test. Seriously, it's not a test. Get ready." Basically, North Korea has like launched a missile at us. So I don't know if like anyone did anything rash, like punch someone in the face, you know, told their wife off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, thinking it's the last 8 hours of their existence. And, you know, but basically what happened was it was a miscommunication. It was a miscommunication in which they said, this is just a test. But he thought
exactly.
It wasn't a test.
Exactly. And I remember Marcus Mariota was playing in a big game, too. Like, I remember the state, like they were talking about Hawaii. I forget what it was. It was something like big with him in it too. And I was thinking, I'm like, wow. And me and Joe were watching it on TV. And I'm thinking, great point you bring up. Like when you hear the doomsday siren or something like that, like what do? Like, you know what I mean? Like you probably go do something crazy. If you think the world's going to end, you know what I mean? Like, what do? Try to sleep with the girl you never could sleep with, you know, try to rob a bank. I don't know. Like, you probably have a list of things that you're thinking. Yeah, it's a good point, Gabe. You can't rob a bank if the world's going to end. But, yeah, just try to do fun stuff, I guess, before it ends. Right? Yeah, that's a good point. What are you going to do with the money? Hey, I robbed a bank. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm gone in 6 hours. That sucks.
No, I think a lot of people, like, I just picture, like, people are insane. They're like,
I've like just smashing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always wanted to murder my neighbor. You know what I mean? Now it's a good time. I'm going to go smash this guy with a baseball bat, whatever. And it's like, you know what I mean?
Great point. Yeah, great point.
Yeah,
you got an issue with somebody.
Like, I'd like to do a study. I'd like to do a case study and find out, like, what's the most extreme thing that somebody did thinking, you know what? There's a missile coming. Got wasted.
I can tell you one thing, Morenci. If the world's going to end, like if you told me, hey, Cam, you know, we got a couple hours here, buddy. Well, I'm going to try to numb myself as much as I can before I'm feeling like I don't want to feel any type of pain. You give me something to numb me and I'm just and
it's
I'll
kind
go
of a weak
maker,
way to go.
You know?
Out. Well, it's kind of a weak way to go out because like getting all drunk and just passing out. You don't even know. It's like
I'd like rather go out that way, though. Would
there's
you rather
3 hours left and Cam's just passed out on the couch. You know what I mean?
I'm just out on the couch. The TV's on color bars. Yeah, exactly. It sounds weak, but I don't know. Would you want to go out in pain? I can tell you one thing. I'd rather not have pain. I'd rather go out that way.
Everything comes back to The Simpsons all the time. There's the episode of The Simpsons when it's one of the original ones, the early season ones, when Homer eats some bad fish. He thinks he's dying. Yeah. Like Hibbert tells him he's got a night to live type thing. Yeah. And so like Homer spends his last night like listening to Larry King. Homer's sitting there, he's all depressed. Marge is like, "Oh, it's gonna be all right." And you know, when he wakes up in the morning, it's like, "I'm gonna live my life like never before. This is like the biggest, this is the best thing that ever could have happened to me." And the next scene, they show him, and he's watching the CFL draft. And the Saskatchewan Roughriders select.
Yeah,
so that's over from Manitoba University.
They managed one rouge.
He's eating pork rinds watching the CFL draft.
That's right. The Saskatchewan Roughriders managed to muster one rouge last year. Hey, Flanders, I'll come to your barbecue. Yeah,
there's been a couple of CFL. There's been a couple of CFL references. Yeah, in the Simpsons.
South Park did it too. They had, it was the base Celine Dion, Rough Riders versus Rough Riders and stuff. They take nice shots at it. I enjoy it. What would you do if the world was ending? What would you do with your final hours? I can't tell you I would do anything cool or extreme. Yeah, like I'd probably just sit there and, get annihilated probably. Like I don't really think, what can I do? You can't really fly anywhere. Can't really go to any place that you're going to, that you want to go to. To do anything.
I would embrace it. I'd be like the nut job, like standing out in the park going, "Take me now, Jesus, hallelujah."
Jesus. You know what I mean?
you gotta embrace conflict, Cam. Once God speaks, the tribe is spoken.
I get it. Yeah, no, trust me. I understand what's going on, but we'll see. Hopefully, it's not going to be.
Speaking
in
our of time,
which, buddy.
I've got a beautiful view. Like I could tweet out the view actually I've got right now. I'll do it just so you can get a perspective of the Weehawken Studios, the view I'm looking at. So I'm looking right into Manhattan here, and there's always helicopters and police helicopters. There's a lot of surveillance.
I was going to tell you earlier.
Bro,
like, I don't know what the
I
hell
just
was going on.
I swear to God, man, I thought that these helicopters were going to collide. Like, they came, like, closer than normal. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I honestly, because you got to believe, Cam, I sit out here and I stare outside this window long enough, I'm going to see something, right? So, I mean, remember the Scully guy that landed the plane in the Hudson? It's like right outside my window where it happened.
Awesome.
Cardano. I don't know why I laughed, but it was the way Cardano told me. We were standing on the street, and he looked over.
Yeah, Sully.
And goes, that's where Sully landed the plane, right there.
Yeah, and they tried to. The worst is Sully's actually, like, does an amazing thing, and then it just typical people, Sully's a drunk or whatever. It's like, the guy just landed a freaking plane and stopped death. Like, leave Sully alone. Like, you know what I mean? It's like that movie, that wicked movie with Denzel Washington, where he was like, oh, man, that movie's actually really good. Where he was like, he was a piss tank, right, pilot, and they did tests and stuff like that. But he was still even wasted. Like, he was an amazing pilot, right? They're like, oh, yeah, you're drunk or whatever. It's like, really? You're gonna bust the guy's nuts because, like, he's the best pilot? Like, so you're telling me you'd rather have a sober pilot that would kill you all, or are you going to have a guy that, he's a drinker and he saved you? Well, I'd rather deal with that guy. Anyway, it's a pretty cool movie. Have you seen that one, too?
I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, they come in there the next day and they all, they coke him up. Remember for trial, he finds like the hotel bar and just busts in there. Great. Oh, man, what a movie that was. I watched that. I was like, wow.
Yeah, for basically people are wondering, Denzel Washington's a pilot and he's like a hero pilot. Like he averted catastrophe and he's like pilot of the year. And he's a legendary pilot. But the thing is, he's a drunk and he's a cokehead. He gets disgraced, because he gets exposed because people realize, he was just sort of minding his own business all the time. No one knew he was doing blow and he was wasted all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of pilots that are a little bit.
They like to sauce it up. Definitely. That's a tough, gig.
I saw a study in a poll once. They actually secretly listened in on doctors, surgeons. Like people, like, they're performing surgery and like the amount of like, man, I did a lot of blow last night.
Yeah.
I was drinking till 7 in the morning. They were spying. They spied on like a bunch of doctors essentially and discovered that, the person performing surgery on you could have been in a sports bar getting hammered all night last night.
For sure.
Like, doctors are just people, right? You know, you got to hope. I remember joking. I had surgery once, and I joked with the I said that to the doctor. Right before I went under the gas, I said, everything all right, doc? You everything good at home? I said, you get a lot of rest last night?
That's the best. Give him the quiz. Yeah, no,
yeah, I was. I was like, he was like, I'm fine. Your doctor was a clown.
No, it's not.
You don't want a drunk doctor, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's not good to spell booze on a doctor. Like, it's just something that you don't really want to think about. I have another doctor now. He's actually a young go-getter, Gabe. Good kid. He went to the University of Southern Illinois. Go Salukis. Yeah, he's my new doctor. So, yeah, he's been a little
bit
better with
me. Your doctor's a Saluki,
yeah? Yeah, my doctor's a Saluki. Yeah, he's really good. You know, he's telling me, you know, he's
better than my lawyer being from Canisius.
Yeah, that's not a good look. And Michigan State, too. Sparty and Canisius. Uh-oh.
Dude, when I saw I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you're like, oh, my God. You're looking at the credentials. Oh, my God. Canisius, Michigan State.
First off, I hate Michigan State, right? So
yeah.
I actually told him, I said, if I would have known, like, really. And secondly, I don't know. I don't, no offense to anyone who graduated from Michigan State, but I don't really think that highly of their school. Like, do you think highly of that? When I think of Michigan State, I just think of a bunch of kids burning couches and stuff. Like, I don't really think of high academia.
You're right. I can tell you one thing. When you look at the schools in that conference, yeah, it would be.
My cousin
would be at the top
Michigan
of the
State.
List.
Yeah. My cousin.
Maybe you went to Michigan
State. She was a. Yeah. She was a like a dietitian. She hates me.
Really?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, she really doesn't like me. You know, there was an incident at her wedding.
Oh, yeah, it happens.
It was one of those. Yeah, exactly. It's a family thing, yeah. And yeah. So
don't worry. We haven't
spoken in years.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's a Spartan. But Canisius and Michigan State, quite the combo for your legal expertise. Listen, I'm sure Michigan State's a fine institution. I don't know what their specialty is.
I don't know. No, I just went to the website. It's like Michigan
Jurassic
State offers
gymnast.
200 to, yeah, good point, 200 academic programs at East Lansing campus. MSU is well known for its academic programs in education and agriculture, and the university pioneered the studies of packaging, horticulture, and music therapy. That sounds like a Cracker Jack degree. Music therapy. Yeah, what's packaging? I got
what they invented
wrap?
A box?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? You put the weed in the package, okay? Yeah, put it in this container. What?
Hey,
I got a job at UPS.
Hey, listen, Sparty. People are smart enough to put the sandwich in the bag on their own. All right, like,
yeah, exactly. I know how to work my own Ziploc. It studies of packaging.
No, I bet you like
no, it's like real packaging. I know. I get. It. We're just gonna take a shot.
Well, what do you mean real packaging? Like, I don't know, like.
Yeah, it says
well, I'm imagining manufacturing packaging, like they created, like the state of the art.
Yeah,
like
I would say state of the art packaging to save space.
What, like condoms?
Condoms. Like, no, just like packaging. Like, you know what I mean? Like packaging.
I don't know what it means though. Like, you know, what packages? Like, so what? They're the first UPS store. Like, what? You know what I mean? What are they making packaging for? Like, did they invent, like, industrial packaging, you know, for warehouses or something? And, like, the early, you know what I mean? But they didn't. I think the Brits invented all that crap. Like, business as we know was invented by the Brits. You know what I mean? Like, stores, commerce, money, all that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know what it means, packaging.
Yeah, a lot of I'm going on Michigan State, so, like, what's, I'm going, like, what is MSU known for? I'm seeing a lot of horticulture, plants, a lot of that type of stuff.
There's a lot of plants in Detroit.
Psychobiology. What the hell are you talking about? Computer and information studies?
Dude, sounds like they're making stuff up, man.
I agree. Hey, it sounds like you're
taking music
DeVry.
Therapy.
Yeah. I can go to DeVry. Come on.
All right. Now look up what Michigan's known for.
Oh, a lot. There's Michigan.
It's going to be medical school, law school.
Yeah, Michigan. Michigan, a lot of brainiacs there. Yeah, you said it. The people sometimes aren't the nicest people there, though, right?
They're miserable. That's the thing. At least Michigan State are the working class. Like, you know what I mean? The Michigan fans are just sort of dickhead
douchebags.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they're in the packaging. Like, what's like? Michigan, what's Michigan?
No, I'm just kind of going to say, wow, Michigan field crops. I don't want field crops. I want the education. The Michigan's leading producers of blueberries and cherries and apples. I thought Washington State was big for apples. The Apple Cup. What is Michigan known for? Yeah, Detroit. Yeah, thanks. I get it. Nah, yeah, okay. Anyway, Michigan, you're right. Michigan's a lot more doctors at Michigan. Sugar. I'm looking at Michigan. Sugar beets, soybeans. Like, what the hell am I talking about?
There it is.
Here?
Oh, yeah. Well, computer information services, business administration, yeah. General economics, political science. Now, Michigan is a good university.
Oh yeah, damn right it is. Like you go to Michigan, like you're when you if you get out of there, you're getting probably a very very high paying job at the end of that. But it's like that in all schools, Gabe. Like you know, across the United States, we watch college football, college basketball. State schools are different. State schools a lot of the time are more working class compared to the other schools. Like even in Oregon, like Oregon State Beavers, it's more working class. Oregon, that's where the money is. What about Washington compared to Washington State? State schools are more for the people, and other schools they have, you know. I'm not going to say they're not all people are elitists or anything like that. I'm just saying.
All right, so Michigan
level of higher education.
So yeah, Michigan, the tuition, if you're from Michigan in state, it's $13,000 a year.
I thought it'd
if you're if you're not from Michigan, it's $43,000 a year.
Ooh, that's a lot of money.
Actually, still kind of cheaper than I thought it would be, to be honest. Now, let's see how much Michigan State is. Let's compare. Same ballpark, actually. $13,000 and out of state, $36,000.
Trying to tell like people Michigan's to go to iHeartRadio there, Gabe, but a lot of people just think just don't listen, eh?
It's nothing but pot shots on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's taking it's like, come on, like you know, we're trying to. Everyone takes pot shots at us. You know, we're just trying to do the. I like your gif though. That was good with the guy stuck in the hallway there. I'm sorry, that's so good. I've been in that situation before, and it sucks. It's not
now.
Good.
I want to shut it down.
Yeah, I kind of.
Now I just want to shut. Well, I don't even like. I'm having a good time, but.
Yeah, me too. You got the button. Ding, 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 ding.
Yang's like, no. I want to get paid for the, you know.
we all want to get paid, buddy. It's
crossed my mind too, right? It has.
Money? Yeah, money's good. Money's good. Getting paid is a good thing.
I'd like to know, though, like, can someone tell us, can someone confirm? Like, yes. How's the sound on iHeart right now? Are we good?
No, good question. Because Cardano when he gave you the message, it said it sounded good. Yeah, I just hear like, hey, wind tunnel, this, you know, hard time listening. Yeah, but then you tweeted out the iHeart and I retweeted it. So you know, we can only do what we.
I told people go to iHeartRadio, get in your car. Yes,
exactly. Yes, Yang. Yeah, dazed and confused.
Fitting.
Yes.
Man, I got to get a bunch of picks together here.
Yeah, I got some.
All right,
picks
so
for you.
Turns out, TuneIn. TuneIn is performing very well right now. All right, see, we're
Tune
on.
In.
Just, you know. Yeah, TuneIn is performing well right now as well.
Solid.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Only love can make it rain.
Game time decisions. Red Eaton Rage Radio. Battling through on this Thursday. Kind of sucks. We got a good football game, and it's what we got to deal with.
Yep.
It's a cold world, Cam.
It is. You said it.
I would say we'll take some phone calls right now, but that'll just, like, the system will explode. It'll be like,
really?
It'll be like a vape pen that blows up. like the pit. There'll be an explosion. Like, it really will. It's just like combustion. Yeah, it won't be good.
Your boy Jazz says iHeartRadio barely better. I hear it's good on iHeart, and then we're hearing Drizilla says 100% less Skippy on TuneIn. So maybe TuneIn.
Jazz likes to complain. I blame Jazz. Probably his crappy phone or something like that. It can't be us.
Nah.
You know, listen, it is what it is, man. You know, they're trying to address the situation as we go right now. So we got the Carolina Panthers and the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight. We got a million NHL hockey games. College football. Last night I got screwed over pretty good in college football, man.
Those are tight losses.
Games to go over the number, and both of them fall short by a single damn point, man. A single freaking point. Like both.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous. I know. And I was thinking, the thing was Ohio was coming back for you too. And I was thinking, wow, if they come back.
You need an overtime, but I got that stupid safety.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. 30-28, it's like, wow, okay. Yeah, it would have been nice. That's what happens. There's always something that happens earlier on in the game that'll bite your ass late. And, what can you say about the other game? Close but no cigar. I just had horrible picks in hockey. I can't lie to you either, man. I swept the board the other night, and Washington scored late there. I needed that game to go to overtime. It's just one of those nights, Gabe. Sometimes you just look at the board. Memphis was good in basketball. I guess our douchebag, what did you call it again, hipster pick of the night? The Memphis Grizzlies worked out. I need another hipster pick of the night.
Well, you know, Le'Veon Bell situation, very, very interesting right now. I'm seeing here that it's getting ugly. I don't think he's going to end up playing for them. I've been saying this.
God, no. No. Yet, he's not going to.
His agent believes this is going to get interesting. Basically, Le'Veon Bell and his agent think that there's a loophole in the CBA that they're going to exploit, that he doesn't have to play, and he doesn't lose anything. So basically, it's kind of complicated. But let's get in here. So on the day the Steelers are hosting the Panthers on Thursday Night Football, things have taken a very strange turn for a Steeler player who's yet to play for them. Le'Veon Bell was thought to possibly report on Tuesday. Now, Tuesdays was supposedly the deadline for him to show up, that he can guarantee that he's a free agent next year. Now, Bell recently left Miami and has returned to Pittsburgh. Yet now he's been spotted playing pickup basketball. Of course, he also tweeted last night in upside-down letters and told people that if you're able to figure out what I just read, you don't have a life and you're an idiot, basically. Now, according to Maurice Jones-Drew, former player, he says that Bell and his agent are digging through the CBA and have found a loophole. So what happened was, once that came out, they're trying to dig now and reading and try to understand the language, because there's a lot of language in the CBA, especially in this particular instance. Now, the old one was, you have to sign by this week or it went back. They're really trying to sit down and figure it out. Well, that really doesn't tell us very much. But in the event that a player who's designated and tendered as a franchise player is not signed as a player contract with a club by the Tuesday following the 10th week of regular season by 4 o'clock, the player should be prohibited from playing football in the NFL for the remainder of that league year. All right, so to put in layman terms, if Bell doesn't sign his tender by Tuesday, November the 13th at 4 o'clock, he'll not be allowed to play football for anyone else during the 2018 season. Under the old CBA, not signing by this period would have been a major problem and prohibited him from potentially becoming a free agent. Under the new CBA, he might be able to skate in a free agency. If he doesn't play according to the CBA, the Steelers shall have the right to designate Brad Bell as a franchise or a transition player in 2019. Typically speaking, a franchise tag situation would be a 120% bump in the price of the tender, except if Bell is redesignated as a franchise player for the league year following the league year in which he does not play, the player may be designated only under Section 2. I know this is getting complicated here, but basically, Bell has realized the Steelers can't basically tender him under the new CBA under a loophole here. And it's pretty clear he's not playing. I mean, I think he's just there in Pittsburgh to stick it to them right now. I don't think he's going to show up on Tuesday. I don't think he wants to show up on Tuesday, and I don't think they want him to show up. They're not going to tender him. They don't want him around. They don't want to pay him like $20 million next year. They don't want to give him 120% raise of the original offer. You know what I mean? Like the whole thing. Le'Veon Bell, it's funny because a lot of people said how stupid he is and all this stuff. Maybe he's a genius. You know, not a genius because
he's got a great legal mind, too. Yes.
Yeah, correct. But he loses the money this year, Cam. Like Mike Blewett and I talked about this morning.
Yeah.
He loses $14
million.
Yes, $14 million. He's not getting back.
That's gone. Correct. That is correct.
And I don't think teams next year are going to give him the money he wants anyways, and he's going to have to take it. You know what I mean? Like, he wants like $17, $18 million a year. They were offering $14 million a year. And he basically, you know, said, listen, quarterbacks are making $20 million a year. I'm as good as a quarterback, so you should pay me basically in that ballpark. And remember, that's what Odell Beckham said. Odell Beckham got away with it, though. Odell Beckham said, it's not right that quarterbacks make 20 and, you know, I'm a megastar. I should get 20. And he basically got like 19 or whatever. He got close to it. Le'Veon Bell was angling more for the 18 mil a year, 17 or 18 mil a year. Yet he's already the highest paid running back at like 15 or the 14. You know, that's the whole thing. They really weren't arguing about that much money. Le'Veon Bell, I just don't think likes Pittsburgh. I don't think he likes the organization. Like, I don't think there's nothing against the people,
and they don't like him.
I don't think
they don't like him.
Yeah.
You know, they're sick and tired of this, too. Remember, you're an offensive lineman, right? And you see what's happened with James Conner, and you take a look at the number. James Conner in scrimmage touchdowns, fourth. Scrimmage yards, second. Touches, first. They're making it a point, Gabe, and it's being successful. At this point in 2017, Le'Veon Bell had five touchdowns to Conner's 10. Everything Conner's doing is better. I know you could look at it and say, hey, you know, it's one of those situations, but Le'Veon Bell's been good for a long time. But what James Conner's doing, it's making people obviously quickly forget about what Bell did, which was not as significant, and he's also got a great story. You talk about it, the cancer survivor, Pittsburgh, all the stuff. In his corner, it makes him look like a better guy. He's not bitching. The team's behind him. It's a train wreck. And the fact that he's coming back and playing pickup basketball and stuff is more a salt in the wound. It's like a spitting in your face. I remember, like, it wasn't like Seattle back in the day. Remember a former Buffalo Bill, Nate Odoms? Seattle picked him up, and the guy basically broke his leg playing basketball, and he never played for them. Like, you know, it was one of those situations. That was kind of an accident. You know, he didn't mean to do that. But this guy's obviously, with social media today and the things that are going on, he is back
him
in
going
their
back
backyard.
To Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's what I'm
play
saying.
Basketball.
He's in their
backyard. He's trolling.
He's trolling. Like trolling to the max. Like, that is like imagine me and you owned a company and one of our employees, like, we're owners and this guy is doing this to us. I'd be in the room going, are you kidding me? So you're telling me he's like a couple miles away from us playing pickup basketball? like Gabe, you know, like, come on, man. Yeah, no, you said it, trolling to the max.
You're playing the Carolina Panthers tonight. You know
yes,
what I mean? Like, the,
yes. It's yeah, just, it's just the whole thing's a joke. And to your point, I agree with you on another point. Just because your body didn't take any wear and tear, that's another year where you're a running back where they're not going to pay that money for a running back. I hope his lawyer's really, really good, because he shot himself in the foot, man. That's $14 million you're not going to get back. Like, it didn't need to go down this road. You could have worked out something, but hey, that's the way. You want to make a statement?
You know what it is, though? He touched the ball, Cam. I don't want to make the number up and get it wrong, so I'm not looking it up right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will. Let me look up the exact amount of touches he had. It was ridiculous. It was like 400. It was yeah, over the top, dude. If you added up the touches over the last couple of years, like last year, like, he touched the ball. Let me get the exact number. It was basically like 113 times or 108 times more than anyone else, type thing. Like, it's over the top how much times he touched the ball. And, you know, the thing is, though, a lot of guys would love that, right? He's getting an opportunity to put up stats. But he looks at it like, listen, you guys are giving me the ball a million times, and I'm putting up stats and I'm producing for you, but then you don't pay me. I see his that I'm not just a normal running back. Like, you know, look how many times. Look, he rushed the ball 244 freaking times last year.
Yep.
290 times the year before that. He was targeted 105 times. Like, we're talking about, like, he's involved in, like, 400 plays a year. Other guys are getting the ball, like, 160 times a year.
I understand. Like,
so,
for sure.
He's being used a lot.
But yeah, he's so using his football mind, terms.
Yeah, so, but
like a worker.
Yeah, but he's thinking
working this much compared to this much. Yeah, I
he's just playing hardball back with him. He's saying that, too. He's basically saying that you guys in my last year are going to run my ass into the ground.
Yep.
You're going to run me into the ground because you don't want to pay me. You don't care if I get hurt, and you're just like a car. I'm like a used car. You know what I mean? You're gonna beat the crap out of this thing, as they say. So he even said that. He said, I'm not stupid. He goes, I know they're gonna give me the ball like 500 times. He goes, I'm not doing it. And that's his deal. And he basically said, you know, and if you can understand his perspective in that, why did the Steelers let it get this far? Because they never planned on paying him. Right, that's like the thing. Like, he's not wrong. It's just the public always takes side of the team because they'll look at an individual as greedy and stupid. But
he's not wrong. Steelers, but he's also, come on, Gabe. He's also
yeah. He had a contract.
He has a contract.
I get it. No, you're right. You know what he should have done? I hate to say it, is what Marshall Faulk said he should have done. He should have showed up and just gotten hurt. Right.
Yep.
Just sort of said, all right, you guys don't really care about me, and I'm not 100% right now, and just sort of mess with them a bit, send a message. You know, when it's all said and done, this is irrelevant, you know? He's going to be a rich man in the future, and whether he gets, you know, $128 million or $142 million, does it really affect our lives, right?
For sure. I'm just saying, yeah, you bring up a good point. Like, there's so much ill will. There's like, it was a situation that started off, I remember back in the day with you and Gamblu, like, you know, that was some great radio, and you guys both brought up some really good points to the table. At that point, did we actually even comprehend or could fathom that it would be this bad, like at this point now? That's the thing. And going into a city and playing pickup basketball and trolling the team you're on, it's like, it's getting to a point. It's just like, obviously now they've gone too far. There's nothing you could do. You don't need this guy anywhere near the team. It's actually, you know, the closer he gets, the worse it's going to get. You said it, Gabe, somewhere else. I wonder what kind of deal he's going to get, though. It's going to be very interesting to find out what the market will bear for Le'Veon Bell. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be very interesting. I wouldn't want to lose $14 million of these guys with the career lifespans they have. Hey, I know it's a lot of money, but they look
it'll be
at
attractive.
A little bit differently.
It'll be attractive to other teams because of that. There's no disputing it. That, you know what, he's only 26 years old, too. He's not old.
Yeah.
So he's 26. Yeah,
Peterson's still running the damn ball, so yeah.
Yeah, he'll be, you know, 27 or whatever going into the year next year. There's 30s the cutoff. Like, he's got 3-4 more years here and maybe more because he just saved a year, right? Like, he's got a good 3-4 years in him of high-level football still, I believe. The only thing is, like, all right, you'll have a couple of GMs and a couple of coaches will say, you know what, I like this guy, he's really good, and he's even fresh, he's not beat up. Yet, you're still not getting the money back. You're still just getting a contract. You know what I mean? You still would have gotten a contract anyways. Like,
that's
you're not getting an extra.
Just take 14. Listen, take only $14 million and burn it because but you will get a contract after that. But this money's gone. Like, that's just like, see ya.
He must legitimately believe, though. He must and his people must legitimately believe that they're going to get a longer contract because of it. They probably think, you know, like I said, everyone thinks they're dumb, and that was his point of his tweet, upside down. He basically stated, you know, I don't need your advice. And, you know, I've been there before. You know what I mean? Like, people always telling people that have zero experience in something or telling people what to do in things is something that's always, like, upset me, too.
It's annoying. Exactly. If you don't know what people are dealing with, I understand.
Le'Veon Bell's already a millionaire. He doesn't need some jackass that, you know, telling him what to do with his finances. You know, he's already rich. He's going to be rich. He doesn't need, and he basically said that. I don't need your advice. I don't need, like, your help. I'm doing this, and, you know. And he basically stated, none of you know what you're talking about, essentially. And if you have time to figure out what I just said, I just proved my point. You know, like, he sent, you know, it was very, very clever, actually. And it is. It's a complicated situation. You know, and just because every other player in the NFL has been played by the team and he's just sort of playing the back right now, you know, I don't know if he's the worst guy in the world ever, but there's no doubt that it's a polarizing situation. Connor is a likable guy who beat cancer. So it's a total opposite, right? In the eyes of people, you've got a guy who's just sort of greedy and spoiled in their opinion. And a guy comes in and beat leukemia and is running the football the same. You know, I think, you know, I don't think he's ever going to play for them again. But I don't, I'm not shocked, Cam, that it's gotten this far, actually. I was one of the few people I said earlier in the year, I said, Le'Veon isn't playing around. Like, he's not just going to, remember people, oh, he'll report by the opening day. Oh, he'll report by week four. I kept saying, no, I don't, I'm not sure he will. I think he really doesn't like them for real. I think he, there's big resentment there with him.
Yes. No, they're not big resentment. That's it. All you got to do is, like, obviously look at the trolling in the situation, Morency. Like, he's not just, like, quietly, you know, going about his business and stuff. He's making it sure to know, I am here at this point. I am in Pittsburgh. This is what's happening right now. I'm going to play basketball. It's one of those, yeah, you said it. He means business. And obviously the relationship with them, it's torn. It's done. It's not, it's over. It's never, it can't be fixed. We've gone too far. I just want to see what kind of deal he's going to get. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what kind of money he's going to get on the open market once this is all over with. Yeah, you believe, what do you think, a 4 or 5 year deal till the end of his career?
Yeah, he'll get like a, he'll probably get 5 years from somebody, but a bad team, maybe. Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, he's got Frank Gore there with the Drake.
New York, Frank Gore is like 90 years old.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Frank Gore's still playing football, amazingly, too. Guy's pretty impressive to still be in the league at that age.
Be a good fit with the New York Jets.
Yes.
San Francisco 49ers. Go along with Jimmy G.
They need a
Niners.
Back.